Hello. I came into Pal Talk today and thought, wow, something is different. What is it? And then I realized that down at the bottom where I don't usually have banners because I'm a paid member of Pal Talk, I have a banner. And of course, it's telling me that my Pal Talk membership has just 6 days left and it's asking me to click here to renew. So, but it was funny how I walked in and turned on Pal Talk and could tell that something was different, but it took me a moment to notice what it was. So I'll renew today when I get done teaching, and then those banners can go away. But happy Sunday, everyone. We are here for Holy Spirit guides, which of course is the time that has been set aside to go over the personal messages that have been helpful to me. And again, right now we're looking at the personal messages that were given to Laurent and me. And last week we were looking at a message called, Loving the Child Within. I don't think we've gotten to the part yet that was used to create the title because I haven't seen anything yet in this message about loving the child within, but there's a little bit more to look at. But what you might remember if you were here last week is that the message was primarily about my fear that the truth is not true. And so that's what we talked about last week. And I didn't finish the message. The fourth question in this particular message asks, what about us, specifically Laurent and me? So we'll see where this message goes with that question. And maybe we'll get to loving the child within. Maybe we'll find out why the message is named as it is. What I'm going to do is give you a link to the message. And when you get the message open, we did start it last week, so you can just scroll down to the fourth question, which is the question that I just read, and what about us specifically, Laurent and me? And that is where we will start. And I see Laurent is in the room, which I always love. And what I am going to do now is just, I like to bow my head, so I'm going to bow my head and close my eyes, and we'll just have a moment of silence before the teaching. Just a moment to tune in to the teaching energy, the listening energy, and just silently give this teaching to the Holy Spirit. All right. Amen. All right. I see Jill. I don't remember if I saw Jill before. So I saw her today at Walmart. She was my checkout girl. But I don't remember if she was here when I gave the link. So let me give the link again. And as I mentioned, just scroll down in the message to the fourth question. And what about us specifically, Laurent and me? And let's look at Holy Spirit's answer about that and see where this message is going now. You experience a lot of fears, and you do not yet realize that your fears are not real. However, you are ready to grow from childhood into adulthood by letting go of imaginary fears. Again, This is why you have come together. When you are ready to address your fears and let them go, it is no longer helpful to depend entirely on magic. Some magic may still be helpful for a time, but what is most useful is to learn that your fears are not real. Likewise, it is not helpful to hide from your fears by avoiding them. Talk about your fears together without judging yourself for your fears. Be willing to see how you uphold your fears and be willing to change habits in order to learn that your fears are not real. Also, be patient with yourselves and one another. Treat yourselves like a loving parent treats a frightened child. Be gentle in addressing the fears, realizing that the child within still fears. They are real. Well, as I mentioned, Laurent and I seem to be at a time when we were finding it difficult being together. You know, we went through waves, right? We went through waves together. Sometimes it wasn't difficult to be together, and sometimes it was. I suppose, you know, everybody knows what that's like. And at this particular point, when this message came, we were in a place where it was difficult being together. Again, I don't know exactly what was going on with Laurent. If I knew it then, I have forgotten. But what was going on with me, as I mentioned, is that I was just feeling used. And I wanted him to leave, and I think he wanted to leave. That's kind of where we were. And Holy Spirit is saying that we are experiencing a lot of fears, and that we do not realize that our fears are not real. And he is telling us it's no longer helpful to depend entirely on magic. In this particular context, magic would refer to anything that we might have been using to try to make us feel better without a true healing happening. And I think that, you know, maybe all of us, I mean, I don't know of y'all, all of y'all personally, so I can't say it for a fact, but maybe all of us, without even realizing that sometimes we were using magic, we used magic. I mean, I think that as core students, we know that things like pills are magic. You know, we know that things like, I'll just stick with the pills. That's all that's coming to mind. So I'll just stop there. Pills are magic. So, if Laurent or I had been, you know, experiencing anxiety with each other and had been taking pills to relieve the anxiety, that's something that most of us would have called magic, but that's not what was happening with us. The magic that was being used would fall more along the line of spiritual practices. You know, there's a lot of different kinds of magic that we use, and it can be helpful for a time, maybe. I mean, we all seem to go through it, so it must be natural. But, depending on the person, the magic could be putting on a certain music that always makes me feel better, burning a certain incense that always makes me feel better, practicing a certain guided meditation that always makes me feel better. You know, there could be belief in different stones or gems, right? That if I wear them, they're going to make me feel better. This is popular New Age beliefs, calling the angels, LaRonda's listing, the chocolate. Yeah, I would say chocolate is something I always thought made me feel better. But yeah, calling on the angels, or calling on, I think what I would like to refer to, there's an addictive, yeah, Kathy is asking, is chocolate magic? And I think what I want to do is try and define what magic is so everybody can find their own magic. there's an addictive, habitual way we go after it, whatever our it is, when we're feeling bad, out of sorts, you know, upset in a way that's fearful to us. And we go to it, whatever it is for us, because we think that it will make us feel better. And in fact, at some point, you know, Holy Spirit really points out that, although of course Holy Spirit is helpful, it would be silly to say that Holy Spirit wasn't helpful. Holy Spirit does point out to Laurent and I that we are using him in that way. Because whenever we go to Holy Spirit and we get a message, we temporarily feel good again. Seems like I heard Laurent teaching on this. Yes, I did. He did use the word magic. But as I say, I feel like I remember Laurent's words discussing this topic recently. And he was talking about intellectual understanding of truth, right? Laurent, do you remember just a couple weeks ago? He was talking about, you know, the high that he would get when something profound, his mind understood some profound spiritual thought that he didn't understand before. And again, it was always temporary. So in that case, we would call that magic. That's how I'm defining magic right now. And what the Spirit is talking about in these three little paragraphs here is moving from childhood into adulthood. And I think that, you know, all of us use some type of magic, the way we're defining it now, in childhood, you know? But Spirit doesn't want to keep us in the same place. Spirit wants to move us along to awakening. And a part of moving us along, believe it or not, is even changing the way that maybe we communicate with or have become dependent on or have begun to use Spirit itself. I know that for me, I'm still experiencing these changes, these letting goes. You know, I'm reminded of NTI Revelation, where it says something like, your job is to keep moving forward by letting go until there's nothing left to let go of. So that means that even things that were very helpful to us on the spiritual path, such as communications with Holy Spirit, eventually have to be let go of. Your job is to keep moving forward by letting go until there's nothing left to let go of. I saw Dove wrote earlier, coming together is magic. Coming to ACIM gather is what he means by that when he says gather. For the recording, for those who don't see it typed. Coming to ACIM gather is magic. And it can be. You know, if I'm coming to gather for my fix, So what Spirit is asking for Laurent and me to do is whatever magic he and I were using at the time, and I'm pretty certain it wasn't the same magic. Laurent and I, you know, in our ways are so different. He probably would call on the angels. That sounds like something he might have done. I don't know if he was doing it during this period, but that was something that I never did. You know, my form of magic, you know, might be more going to Spirit for a message, maybe. And there is something in me that has let me know, I'm not going to deny this, there is something in me, a feeling, an intuition that has let me know when I was going to Spirit for a message, out of that feeling of needing a fix. I kind of knew. When I should be letting go of that, and I wasn't. So what Spirit is asking us to do here is, it's a mature practice. He is asking us to talk about our fears together without judging ourselves for those fears. You know, have a conversation, you and Laurent. And you know what? I don't recall ever having this conversation with Laurent. Not the conversation that I needed to have. I don't recall ever. I mean, this may be the first he's heard of it, because I don't recall ever sitting down with Laurent and telling him that I was feeling used. I don't recall ever revealing that to him. And so I don't really know what would have happened if I would have sat down and had that conversation with him. But I'll tell you what happened at the end of this trip. I think Laurent will remember this, because you guys may remember that Laurent would come for, you know, a few months, and then he would have to go home for a few months, you know, because of his visa. And I remember at the end of this trip, because my feeling that I was being used wasn't healed. I never sat down and discussed it with him. I never revealed it. And so what happened was it just built up and built up and built up, and it became very strong. And when he left at the end of this trip, I took him to the airport, and I dropped him off, and I did not kiss him goodbye. And I know he remembers that. I think he does. Yeah, I'm dropping him off to go back to France, and you know, the thought in me was kind of like, good riddance. And it was because of this idea that I was being used that just built up and built up, and I never talked to him about it. And I see I'm always happy as saying, may I ask a question, in typing, yep, go right ahead. Type out your question. But what Spirit is asking us to do is to be mature and to talk about these things together. And not judge ourselves or, of course, each other. And not only that, be willing to see how we uphold our fears. How was I reinforcing that belief that I was being used? What thoughts was I listening to? And as I told you all last week, at this time I wasn't only feeling used by Laurent. I was actually also feeling used by Spirit. I thought Spirit was beginning to ask too much of me, and I was not getting, I love that word now, getting enough in return. You know, what thoughts was I listening to? What thoughts was I telling myself over and over and over again, and not really noticing that I was listening to ego, thinking I was listening to truth? I mean, when you're listening to these thoughts and feeding your ego, whatever your story is, if your story that someone is using you or whatever it is, When you're believing it, when you're really believing it, you're not even realizing that you're just listening to ego. You think you're listening to truth. It's a for me in that time period, it was a fact that Laurent was just using me. That was truth to me. And we all do that. When we're caught up in some story, we don't realize I'm just listening to ego here. We think that this is truth. This is what's happening. So again, he says, be willing to see how you uphold your fears and be willing to change habits in order to learn that your fears are not real. Well, what would be the habit change? Well, the habit change would be not listening to those thoughts. Or the habit change would be discussing them with Laurent. Right? Not keeping them to myself as if he's the enemy. Trusting my brother. If you'll pardon the expression, Laurent and I did have a very special relationship, and by that I just mean committed in purpose. And it would have been helpful to us both, I'm sure, if we had listened to this guidance and if we had sat down and had the conversation that Holy Spirit was urging us to have. Again, I don't remember ever revealing to him what was going on with me at that time, nor do I have any recollection of what was going on with him. So it's possible that it was also not revealed to me or something. We just, you know, we were too caught up in our stories of, you know, how we didn't want each other. Let's see what this question is. Who and what are you about? I mean, is this a good way not in off sense, if that makes sense? Who and what am I? You mean, you know, like, why do I have the mic and why am I talking? No? Okay. I think I'm just going to let the question go because I'm afraid it might pull me off the focus that I really want to be looking at right now. But thanks for your question. Okay. So Holy Spirit again was asking Laurent and I to sit down together, to talk about what was going on with us together. We probably each had something that was not revealed to the other, and Spirit knew this, and also knew that it would be very helpful for us to trust our relationship, to trust our commitment, to trust our purpose, and to share it openly. And we didn't, out of fear. What were we afraid of? Well, I don't know, the joke. There must be a joke here. Were we afraid that we would leave each other and at the same time wanting the other one to leave? I don't know. I suppose what we were really afraid of was that the other one would see how, hey, Jay, I'm guessing that's you, Jay. Jay McCormick, maybe? Jay is the one that went to India with me. Yep. I was told that I traveled to India with a Laurent lookalike. Laurent, I don't really know if that's true, but I was told that I found a Laurent lookalike to go along with me. That would be Jay. So Jay, meet Laurent. Laurent, meet Jay. You know, I think what we were really afraid of is, again, our own belief in how bad we are. That is such a common fear. We were so afraid that, you know, underneath that feeling used, remember somewhere, I think it was this message or the one before, I talked about how selfish I felt. I felt like I was being used, but I also felt selfish for feeling that. And so there was my own judgment of how I felt and my own judgment of me buried in that. And so if I really think I'm bad for even feeling this way, I don't want to share it with Laurent, because what if he agrees that I'm bad? What if he says something that just confirms that worst suspicion that I had? And maybe he was the same way, right? Maybe whatever was going on with him, he didn't want to share it with me, because what if I was the one that confirmed, yep, you're just, you know, you're not into this, you're a loser, you're a fake, you're a whatever. You know, whatever I could have said that would have confirmed for him how bad he is. And so out of that fear, that was really the fear, out of that fear that when we told each other what was going on, that all we would do is attack and confirm for each other how bad we were, we didn't have the conversation. We did not follow this guidance. At least not this time. Listen to Holy Spirit's advice to us. You know, because of course you guys know this is the advice to all of us with whatever's going on with us, right? He says, treat yourselves like a loving parent treats a frightened child. Be gentle in addressing the fears, realizing the child within still fears they are real. And if we had talked about this, Laurent, you know, we would have gotten to the point, because we've done it before in other times, right? We would have gotten to that point of tenderness with each other. We would have seen how scared each other was. But we didn't do it. And that's okay. I mean, that's okay. Everything worked out in the end. But I just feel like pausing here, because Spirit's guidance is always true. It's always right. And notice how we let our fears block our willingness to follow this simple guidance, which, you know, maybe had we followed it, it could have short-circuited something that lasted longer, right? Maybe that night, right, Laurent and I could have got to a breakthrough together that we didn't get through, because at the end of this trip I sent him off without a kiss. And the breakthrough eventually came. But why delay? Was it fun being in pain thinking I was used? No. Was it helpful to anyone? No. Did it ultimately hurt anything? No. I eventually got there, seeing that it wasn't true. But why delay? Why not follow Spirit's guidance the second we realize that guidance, no matter how it comes to us? Spirit is guiding us out of pain, out of suffering. And when we resist Spirit's guidance, we delay that happiness. We delay that release. We delay that freedom. And what, we think we know better? If Spirit was guiding Laurent and I to talk, that is because Laurent and I could have had this conversation. Well, notice I asked another question. How are fears healed? And here's the answer. Through willingness to face them and see they are not real. At some point when the child is ready, he must look under his own bed in order to learn that there are no monsters living there. And again, since you know the story now about this time frame, you know that we chose not to look under our bed at that time, which means we had to live a little longer with thinking there were monsters living there. All right. So, fear ruled, yeah. And that's okay. That's okay. The next message is called Awareness, Understanding is Seeing. And if you are in this message called The Loving Child Within, then all you have to do is scroll back to the top and you'll see a link for Awareness, Understanding is Seeing, and you can click on it. Now, if you are not in this message, what I'm going to do right now is post a link in the room. This will be the link to the new message, Awareness, Understanding is Seen. and we'll look at it, okay? Okay, so I have something here in blue, and blue means, coming from, Regina rather than Spirit. And I wrote, before writing this message with Holy Spirit, I had this clarity. So it looks like I was sitting in stillness, and I had a realization that did not come in message form. But I must have felt like it had something to do with the message, because I wanted to share the realization. And so I said, before writing this message with Holy Spirit, I had this clarity. I am equals existence. Ego equals an experience that is different than I am. Therefore, ego equals I am not existence. With this underlying belief, the ego cannot help but fear. Well, of course, this was something that Spirit was actually teaching Laurent and me a few weeks earlier while we were in Boston. There were a couple of messages about the fear that I do not exist. And so what must have been happening was, that the seeds were planted within my mind when the message came. And then the realization or the understanding of those messages dawned on this particular day, so that there was an inner aha. Of course, if I do have this belief, if I'm identified with ego, and I have this belief that I am not existence, then I think that letting go of ego is, what we could call death. I think that letting go of ego is the end of the experience of existence. I think it's the worst thing ever. And this is really the core of all resistance. No matter what kind of resistance it is, all resistance to letting go of ego. Because we're identified with ego, and the ego is the belief, I am not existence, because it's different from I am, which is his existence, right? And so there's this thought that I don't even know how to say it, that I have to be kept going as this artificial self. I have to be kept going as this artificial self, although we would never think of it as an artificial self, but I have to keep this artificialness going, because if the artificialness is let go, then I am let go also, and that's not true. The artificialness is let go and the true self is revealed, but this belief is in the way. This attachment, this identity to ego. And so, we trick ourselves in a myriad of different ways into holding on to ego, because we think we have to keep that artificial self going. All right, so now that this realization has dawned, I have a question for Holy Spirit. It says, "Good morning, Holy Spirit. Please talk to me more about the fear of not existing. I feel like I am getting the edge of some important clarity, but I would like to talk to you so this clarity can be pulled more into the level of consciousness." And Holy Spirit says, "You are beginning to see that attaching your identity to the ego is a decision that must engender fear and suffering. And you can never be completely free of fear and suffering as long as your identity is attached there. For always there will be some idea that threatens the idea of your existence, and always you will feel compelled to react to that." Again, this is not something that's super conscious. But it shows up in the simplest ways. You know, like if a friend and I, you know, if one of us says, you know, that's a hummingbird. And the other one says, no, that's not a hummingbird. That's the special species of bee that they have here in this place where we're at now. If we're tuned into ego, if we're identified with ego, there may be this little feeling here like, I've got to be right that that's a hummingbird. I've got to be right here. And so I may go on to try and convince my friend, no, that is a hummingbird. I know the species of bee you're talking about, and here's the difference between them. And, you know, I may try and get into it. Why? Because underneath, way underneath, there's this feeling that if I don't hold on to myself, and in this case, I'm attaching being right with myself, if I don't keep this artificialness going, this me, if I don't protect it, then the idea of my existence is threatened. And if you watch for this little feeling underneath stupid stuff like that, you know, is that a bee or a hummingbird over there? You'll feel it. You'll feel that it's like sometimes you just gotta be right. And the crazy thing that's under that is this fear that if I don't keep this artificial self going, and being right is one way I keep it going, if I don't keep this artificial self going, the idea of my existence is threatened. And Spirit is telling us that what I'm realizing here is that the only way to escape this circumstance is to no longer be identified with the ego. In other words, eventually get to the point where I can let the idea of the ego's existence go completely. And it's no threat to me because that's not who I see myself as. So I went on to say, right now I am seeing how true this statement is. I can feel total panic at the idea of some threats. I can feel lashing out in hatred at others. It seems that fear and hatred are the two primary responses to this fear, although two responses can be numbed to the point that they are barely recognizable. Numbed to the point that they are barely recognizable. Spirit said, so you can tell here, this is a very good thing, by the way, or helpful is what I mean by good in this case. You can tell I was really looking at this point. I'm not at the point of being numbed. You know, I'm not at the point of barely noticing that little angst when I want to be right that it's a hummingbird. Here I'm looking at it. I'm deep looking at it. I'm seeing that even wanting to be right about the fact that that's a hummingbird, what's underneath that is intense fear and hate. You know, like there's a monster underneath that. There's a monster underneath that because that monster has to roar because that monster is fighting for the idea of its existence. Back at the surface, I just might want to push the point a little more. But what's underneath wanting to push the point a little more? So what's happening here that's good is I'm really looking at it. I'm not saying, oh, that's just a little thing. So Spirit says, it is true that uncovering the ego can often result in feeling raw feelings that were not felt before. But some people have always felt the raw feelings, and only the reasons for the feelings are covered up. They feel intense fear and hatred, but the reason for the emotions is put out there. You are uncovering the ego when you are in touch with the raw emotions and looking at the ideas that cause the effects of those feelings. He might be addressing, again, you know, differences in Laurent and me. I'm a person who barely noticed the feelings. You know, I just want to push the point a little more, but I'm not noticing the deep hatred and fear underneath it. Laurent, on the other hand, was very in touch with the deep hatred and fear, but wasn't certain why it was there. and it scared him. And so Spirit is saying, in order to be helpful, we kind of need to look at both together. We need to look at the raw emotions, and we need to look at the cause. Because if you look at just the raw emotions, you're just going to be scared out of your bejeebies. If you can be scared out of your bejeebies, I don't know what the hell that means, but whatever. So he's saying, you need to look at the raw emotions, but at the same time that you're looking at the raw emotions, you need to look at the cause. And the cause here is you are identified with ego, and there's this belief that if you can't keep this artificial self going, possibly through being right, that the idea of your existence is threatened. And geez, if that was true, I mean, if I had to be right that that was a hummingbird or I'm going to poof out of existence, you better believe I want to be right that that's a hummingbird. Suddenly, this is not a little thing anymore, right? It's important. It's a life or death matter. I said, my question then was, okay, so we need to look at cause and effect together before we can truly say that we see the ego. In other words, just looking at the fear and hatred, but not having any understanding at all, any realization of all of where that's coming from, is not truly looking at the ego. But seeing the fear, the hatred, and realizing, somehow knowing, like I had a realization before this message came, realizing that it's coming from this belief that my existence can be threatened. Now I'm looking at the ego, because I see both the cause and I see the effect. So we need to look at cause and effect together before we can truly say that we see the ego. Until then, it is still hidden. So in my case, the ego was most commonly hidden by not being in touch with the feelings, not really noticing them. In Laurent's case, the ego was most commonly hidden by the emotions being very, very intense, but there being no dawning of what was causing the emotions, no realization about why. So he would just come to see himself as, I am this fearful, hateful being, right? Because he experiences these emotions and he has no idea where they're coming from or why, because the cause is hidden. So he just begins to identify with the emotions. So Spirit is saying that it is helpful to see the cause, not just the emotions. To know, to have a realization within yourself. I'm using the word realization because to me there's a difference between realization and intellectual understanding. You can have intellectual understanding and still not have realization. Again, Spirit gave us messages a few weeks ago explaining this fear of not existing. So I had the intellectual understanding, but the realization only dawned this morning of this message. So there's a difference. The realization, that type of understanding, is a necessary component when looking at the emotions. You put the two together, and now you're looking at the ego. Spirit says, the ego is hidden in some very creative ways, so your willingness to see it must be very great if you are to see clearly all of the ways you have tricked yourselves. Oh, yourself. I said yourselves, because I trust it was for me and Laurent. Metaphysical studies are helpful, but the primary purpose of those studies is to bring your willingness into alignment with your true desire using the tool of intellectual awareness. But this work cannot be done if you remain at the level of the intellect. You must place the desire for intellectual controlling aside and be willing to understand through awareness. So actually, Spirit's just talking about here what I just talked about, that there's a difference between this realization of the cause and an intellectual understanding. So just because we read it in A Course in Miracles, or just because we talk about it in a course group, or just because we see it in a message from Spirit, because we have understanding of it and we can talk about it, does not mean that the realization has actually hit yet. And the purpose of the metaphysical studies, he says, is to bring our willingness into alignment with our true desire. Right? So what that means is when I'm reading, let's say, A Course in Miracles, and or I'm reading the message from Spirit saying that the ego has this fear that it doesn't exist, I don't just stop with my intellectual understanding of that. I say, okay, intellectually, I get that. But I give willingness to really get that. I give willingness to see that for myself from within. So we aren't really supposed to be learning in a mental way. The learning that occurs mentally is just pointing out to us what we have not yet seen within ourselves. And we don't want to be satisfied with the intellectual learning. We want to say, okay, I want to see that within myself. I want an inner understanding of this, an inner seeing, a realization that comes from within. Spirit continues, awareness understanding is seeing. Again, he's using the term awareness understanding instead of intellectual understanding, right? It's that seeing that comes from within, that ah, that aha, like the one I had the day of this message, that ah, now I see. Awareness understanding is seeing. It is experiencing for oneself. You can have awareness understanding without intellectual understanding. And it is still pure understanding. But if you have intellectual understanding without awareness understanding, you do not understand at all. In other words, I didn't have to learn it through A Course in Miracles or a message from Spirit first. That's one way it happens. But I don't have to have intellectual understanding. That's not the, quote, the requirement or what's needed. Without ever having learned these ideas from a book, one day the dawning can come. It's the dawning that is necessary. If I happen to learn it from a book first, that's just so I can give my willingness for the dawning to come. But the book knowledge, without the dawning, without the realization, without the inner seeing, just really isn't worth much at all. Holy Spirit continues, you must see what you are doing. You can only see when you truly desire to see. Intellectual understanding isn't truly needed at all, although it can be helpful increasing your desire. Someone told me the other day that, you know, people had told him that he needed to do the course in order to wake up. And, you know, he's not feeling particularly attracted to it. And someone told him he needed to do the course in order to wake up. And I laughed and I said, that's funny because, you know, all of the people that I know that are truly awake, they never did the course. Never even heard of the course, you know, in touch it with a 20-foot pole. How can it be required? How can any particular intellectual study be required to wake up? Now, those of us who have felt drawn to it, right, called to it, well, then it is a part of our awakening. But it's there to lead us to the point to give the willingness to have these inner realizations. It's the inner realizations themselves that are the awakening seeds popping. Not the book, not the intellectual understanding. The inner realization themselves. Those are the seeds popping into awakening. All awakening comes from within. All awakening comes from within yourself. It cannot come from any place else. I promise you that. The next question was, I said, okay, I can see that the greatest obstacle to seeing is fear. And what I was seeing at this point was, you know, he had said up above that you must see what you are doing and you can only see when you truly desire to see. But what I realized is what keeps us from truly desiring to see is, again, that fear that I'm bad. And, oh my God, you know, we all have this till it's healed. You know, If my practice is denying my emotions, I may not want to see that because, you know, I may not want to share that with my brother Laurent because, you know, if I see that, if I expose that, then I may get confirmation, oh, you bad person. No good spiritual student would ever deny their emotions. Every good spiritual student is in touch with their emotions, right? This is my fear, this confirmation. So what I do is I just don't look. I just keep on practicing my denial. So that's why I said I can see that the greatest obstacle to seeing is fear. I don't want to see because I'm afraid what's underneath that is that I am truly bad. And Spirit says, yes, fear comes from the judgment that you are wrong. You know, I'm wrong for denying my emotions. In Laurent's case, he's wrong for feeling his emotions. There's a joke in there. How can we both be wrong? We're doing the opposite thing. He's wrong for being aware of them. They shouldn't be there. I'm wrong because they're not there. Even though we're doing the opposite thing, right? But that's the way it is. You know, we all have this fear that we're wrong. And so we don't really want to see. We walk around saying we want to see, but the truth is we don't because we're so scared that that we're going to find out that we really are this bad, you know, low scum of the earth. Spirit says, all right. Oh, no, actually, I said, all right. Well, as you know, I seem to go through periods of being very conscious of fears and periods of being less conscious. Right now, I'm in a period of being more conscious, and it's very difficult. What would you recommend both to me and my partner? Jamie, if you're hungry, go upstairs. There's people upstairs who can feed you. I'm busy. You want to come say hi to Laurent? She looked at me funny when I said that. Okay, so right now I'm feeling this crap. And it doesn't feel so good. What do you recommend? Okay, let's see. Laurent thinks, okay, let's see what's going on here. Laurent's saying, here you said my partner, remember? It's already going better. Okay, good. Here's Spirit's answer. Remember that your purpose is to see. Become very focused on the idea that you want to see, and that will help to overcome the desire not to see. Be willing to be slow and patient. You can be clearly focused. Can you hear her, Jamie? I mean, can you hear her, Laurent? Yeah, he's saying, Jamie, I love you. Donna, she wants to eat. You want to come over and feed her? Okay, let me go back to this. All right. Be willing to be slow and patient. You can be clearly focused without frantic searching. Don't forget to rest and breathe, even as you are overcome by feelings that are the effect of believing illusion. Okay, this is important. So, Spirit has pointed out that in order to really look at the ego, we need to look at both the effect and the cause. And now he's warning us not to go into frantic searching. You know, not to say, okay, I got to understand the cause of this, and then out of fear, go into some frantic search for that cause. That's not helpful. Instead, what he's saying is as you sit and become willing to see the cause, that's where you focus. You become willing to see the cause. You be patient with yourself. The cause will dawn on you. You see, you don't go on a witch hunt looking for it. That's just going to increase your fear.
Hi, love.
Instead, you focus on giving your willingness. There's the reason you don't see it now is because you are afraid to see it. So you just acknowledge that I must be afraid to see this or I would. But even more than I want to protect my fear, I want to see because I trust that seeing is freedom, not protecting fear. You just keep giving that willingness. You just keep giving that willingness, not witch hunting. And when the willingness is full, full enough, I'll say. Then the cause dawns. The cause comes to you. You don't go out in search of the cause. Do you see? Spirit says, sometimes you seem very lost. When you are lost, just rest and wait. Rest and wait as long as it takes, and avoid acting or making decisions from there, from that feeling of lost. When you feel the peace and knowing of clarity, act and move from there. When you are lost in confusion, you are not clear, do not listen to your mind then. When you are clear, trust your knowing. Do not doubt when you know. So what Spirit is trying to do here is, through contrast, paint a picture between when to do nothing and when to, in some way, act. Acting might be, it could be some kind, particular type of guidance of something to do. It could be saying, okay, now I have a thought here that I know I'm supposed to journal on. I'm supposed to go deeper and look at this because this is the, I can feel it. This is the beginning of seeing the cause, you know. But he's saying there is a knowing in you. Wait for the knowing. Wait for the knowing. Don't act out of fear. I said, you've been asking us to get in touch with our true self, but I find this very hard to do in the midst of so much fear. And Spirit says, when you are hearing, rest, and wait, you are hearing the voice of peace and you are in touch. So stay focused on the rest and wait, and let everything else just be. Stay slow. In slowness, you listen to the quietness because the intent is aligned. Sometimes we're looking for something big from Spirit, some big earth-shattering thing. And we're ignoring the simple prompt, which is just telling us to be patient. Breathe. Rest. Relax. Right? Spirit's saying that is just as much the voice of peace, the voice of self, the voice of Holy Spirit, as some seeming earth-shaking realization. And in fact, those pieces of guidance are leading to any realization that needs to happen. So don't think you're out of touch with Spirit if you are hearing, breathe. That is Spirit. Right? Anything else? I asked. Spirit said, I'm giving you everything. Stay focused on the desire to see. Stay slow. Stay quiet. Hold hands and love one another. The ego has set up strong defenses that you are not yet seeing, but through your willingness, and with the help of a strong, loving partnership, there we go, Laurent, you shall see. Now listen to me. The partnership isn't necessary, is it? Can't I kick this guy out on his ear? The partnership has the potential of being very, very helpful if you both choose to see it that way. Do not underestimate the helpfulness you bring to each other. Do not let the mind tell you that out is a better way. The part of the mind that wants out is fear. The part of the mind that judges and hates is fear also. Learn not to listen to the fear, and you will more easily know the unblinded guidance of your heart. And Laurent and I did not part at this time, so we must have in some way heard that guidance to stay. Because again, we were both wanting out of the relationship, and he even, you know, shortly after this and sometime in April left for Paris, and he did not have to come back, and he did. I didn't have to let him come back, and I did. So apparently we did listen to that heart in us that knew that our relationship was very, very helpful, that heart in us that wanted this helpful relationship. Jamie is like practically pushing me out of my chair. It is 6 o'clock, so I think I have to go feed the dog. All right, so I'm out of here. Bye, Laurent, and goodbye, Jay, and goodbye Donna and Jill and Kathy and Clara and, you know, everyone else. Everyone else. And I'll see y'all later. I'm going to feed the dog. Bye.